it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
We're back. Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I am Gene Bolduc with an almost brand new shoulder, and joining me today is Dr. Penny Rich, our senior ACC tournament correspondent. Penny,
Woo-hoo. Oh my gosh,
it's been 6 weeks, I think, or more.
I know, I missed you.
Thank you. I missed you too. I can't believe the world has continued spinning.
Oh, and it's spinning. Let's be clear.
In our absence, spinning. it's spinning all right. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And we haven't even talked in our preparation for today's show. We haven't even talked about politics. I'm not sure we'll get to it. There's so much going on, and we are recording on Tuesday of the kickoff of the ACC tournament. We have to take a moment of respect and appreciation for our Tar Heels sweeping Blue Devils this season in the regular season and winning the regular season championship. All hail, you know, as much as last year was a train that could not get on the tracks, never mind stay on the tracks.
Right.
This year has really been very impressive.
Yeah, they're a fabulous team, Gene. This year, I agree. I could not agree more.
There must have been some.
They're all clicking.
Not that many different people. So I feel like there must have been some dynamic among the players that just was not working last year.
Yeah, it might have been a maturity level. I think that they are all, some five-year seniors, fifth-year seniors, rather. They are playing as a team, which I think is we didn't see sometimes last year. Yeah, we didn't see sometimes last year. Last year, it looked like a lot of them were, and I don't want to put the team down ever, but it was an individual kind of like, you know, because they came in as number one, do you remember? And so it didn't work.
You know, honestly, as soon as I saw that, I thought I would bet money on the prospect that Coach Davis said, oh, not number one.
No, please don't.
Number five, not number one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you don't want to be on the, you don't want your team to kick off the year on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's really a struggle.
Yeah, but they were beautiful to watch, though. I mean, and I got a little nervous towards the end. I'm sure you did, too, when it got really tight at the end. But they pulled it through and they looked great. And I am excited to watch them during March Madness. I really am.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm always happy to see them just playing well and obviously being competitive. There's more to it than just, can you shoot? I think we've got a couple of guys who can shoot.
Oh yeah.
I think so. I really wish that next year, if I could have my wish in college basketball, here's what it would be. I want Caitlin Clark to come and play for Carolina.
She's going pro. She's going pro.
On the men's team. I mean, yeah. I think that she could play in the NBA. I was just talking to somebody else about this today. I think she could play in the NBA, and I'm not talking about the WNBA.
Yeah.
I mean, if Muggsy Bogues could make it in the NBA, I don't see why Caitlin Clark, who only has to travel half the court in order to shoot, because she runs up to the logo, heaves it up there, and makes it.
She's
just as much fun to watch as LeBron James.
Yeah. Oh no, she's spectacular. But I just want to remind you, and you can go back and rewind last year. You were begging for Armando Bacot to stay another year, if you recall. Remember?
Yes.
I think RJ also. You were like, please, 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 please stay.
We both were offering that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of benefit from graduate school, even if you don't finish an advanced degree.
Even if
you graduate from your undergrad, you might want to take some graduate courses, just enough maybe to qualify, for example. I think, can there be really any doubt that that was a very smart move on his part?
Oh, very smart. He's matured so much. Also, his shooting is better. In the paint, he's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that, he's got a good chance of, of getting into the pros, I think. I hope RJ can make it too. I mean, he's a little bit shorter, and you know, the pros, they're big guys. When they get to the pro, those guys, man, they work out all the time, and they're just big. They're just not, you know, you look at the college guys versus the pros, and
I mean, really, isn't that amazing? I mean,
it's
you
amazing.
See some of these pictures, it really is a difference between boys and men. And then you see there's a couple of players in college basketball that are up there. They're 23, 24, 25 years old. And wow, there. You can tell.
So our team is going to be a young team next year, but it's okay. I think, you know, let's not push to next year. Let's just get through this year. But yeah, I'm excited for ACC. I was just watching, as I told you before we went on, Louisville and NC State, and State won.
They finished strong too.
They did finish strong. So so good for them.
I'm going to have to take
that
up
shifting.
You know, my son went to NC State, so I'm going to have to take it up with Brian and
just going to be have to be
and admit that his team looked pretty good. But of course, to be fair, they were playing Louisville. Louisville's record this year is, oh my goodness,
so
something
good.
Like 8-23.
Yeah,
and I heard
so
Jim Boeheim say that, you know, they were talking about whether or not this is going to be this coach's last game for Louisville. You know, that he might be fired before he gets to the parking lot. I mean, I don't know the whole story about his coming in to coach for Louisville, but I think that this is his first year. You can't fire the guy if they have a terrible season your first year. You know, if Carolina had done that, they would have fired Dean Smith.
Right.
You gotta give
a little time.
You usually make the contract for a couple or 3 years for a reason.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly.
And I'm going to say this too. I thought Duke played a good game. It sure did look to me like Filipowski engaged in a little Grayson Allen
tripping.
Tripping.
Yeah. You think? Yeah.
But I saw what he said after the game. That he, I don't, who was the Carolina player that he tripped? I don't remember.
I think it was RJ, wasn't it? Was it RJ? Maybe.
It might have been, but it was one of the guards, I think. He wasn't called for it.
He wasn't called for it. They questioned whether the referee was actually
whether it was
watching
a
the game
or something.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so he said after the game that it was completely inadvertent on his part, that he talked to his counterpart on Carolina, that he said, you know, I'm sorry about that. It was completely accidental. And he said, look, I know social media is going to say what they say, but I wanted him to know from me, you know, no hard feelings, just an accident. Hope you're okay. You know, and like that. And I thought, wow.
That's a different Duke team.
I'm happy to hear that.
I think John Shearer is a different kind of coach, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm going to tell you this too. This won't sound like me, but I've been on medicines. You know, I wrote a column last week when I came back on Chapelboro, writing my column, and I said, you know, mark your calendar. I'm going to say nice things about Mike Krzyzewski, and what I said was that I had watched. I don't know if you've seen this. 1 hour special on ESPN about the rivals. That's a sit down interview with Krzyzewski and Roy Williams. It's a wonderful little.
I have not seen it.
Special.
Yeah.
They're interviewed by Wes Durham.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're at the Greensboro Coliseum. They're in the middle of the court, and in the stands on half of the arena are coaches. High school coaches, they are interviewed predominantly about coaching and about, you know, these are two teams. Nobody needs the backstory. They are at the very top of their business. And they said, how do you manage and how do you coach great talent? Which is not easy, not at all. I mean, oh my, did we learn that last year? And Mike Krzyzewski said some very interesting, sometimes very amusing things. He was talking, for example, about, they were talking about players coming up the court and dribbling the ball looking like the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, through their legs, around the back and all that. And he said the sweetest thing. Yeah, I mean it. No sarcasm.
Wow. Okay.
Mike Krzyzewski said the sweetest, the most adorable thing. He said, Jiminy Christmas. When's the last time you heard that expression?
Yeah, right.
Right? Second grade, maybe.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. Just dribble the ball. And then he said something else that I won't say on the radio because I'm more careful on the radio than he was on ESPN. And, and everybody just burst out laughing because it was like these kids, when they're playing, they want to show off what they can do. We all get that. But he's like, so what they were talking about was fundamentals,
yeah,
practice, you know,
practice,
foul
yeah.
shots. This is the thing about Carolina that I never worry about. I never think, oh no, they're going to get to the line and they're not going to make these fouls.
Right.
Make them, baby.
They do make them. And, you know, I want to agree with you. I think the game was fun to watch. It was a little nerve-wracking at the end. But also, I don't know if you followed. I mean, Tom Jensen was there at Cameron.
Yeah.
And a couple of other people, the Carolina people that I know, were able to get tickets this time around, which is
yeah,
very,
what's
very
up with
unusual.
That?
I don't know. It was very unusual that they let Carolina people in Cameron. So thank you to Duke for
well,
letting
Carolina
guests.
People must be getting bigger bank accounts because, man, I don't know about you, but once in a while, just to amuse myself, I'll look at
look
ticket
on
prices for
StubHub.
That event. Wow. I mean, it's expensive. It's expensive in Chapel Hill, but wow.
Well, because it would be
beach house for a week payment.
Well, I mean, they only fit 9,300 at Cameron, right? 9,300 people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dean Dome is about 21,000. So, I mean, there's a big difference, and that's probably what, but it was fun to watch Tom be there because, you know, God, oh my God, such a fan.
He's everywhere.
Sure
there's really only one of him.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think there might be a couple.
Have we ever seen him and Superman in the same place?
I have not.
I don't know. We're wondering about you, Tom Jensen. All right. We're going to take a quick break for us to catch our breath, get a drink of iced tea, and we're going to come right back. Thank goodness you're listening to the Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back. Back with Penny Redd. And Penny, while we're talking about UNC, I have to give this shout out. So I had rotator cuff surgery on January 29th.
Yeah.
And I had this at the Ambulatory Care Center in Chapel Hill. I can't say enough nice things about them. I will never run out of nice things to say about them. I have some very funny stories. I could stretch it out over 3 days. But I will tell you this remarkable thing that I think people should know, which is, so they come in during the pre-op to tell me what they're going to do and all this. And the resident says, now, have you ever had a nerve block? And I did have one on my right shoulder, and I had concerns about this because of how things kind of turned out for my right shoulder, which may or may not have had something to do with that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, I didn't love it, but she said, okay, well, we're going to do another one. It was like,
no choice here.
Didn't love it, but we're doing it.
We're doing it anyway. Yeah.
And she said, when did you have that procedure? And so we talked through the dates and whatever, and it was about 15 years ago. She said, oh, I think you're going to be very happy with this. You're not going to be happy while we're giving it to you because certain things about a nerve block are still going to remain rather unpleasant. But even that is better. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you, you know, we give you a shot in your shoulder and it goes into your nerve. I think everybody knows that that's how that goes. And she says, but now when you had it before, when did it wear off? And I said, oh, the next morning, maybe the middle of the next day. You know, it's kind of gradual, but, you know, the next day. She said, okay, well, today is Monday.
Yeah.
And this should wear off probably Friday afternoon. And I said, you're lying. She said, no. What they do is literally have a short acting part of this that's for the surgery.
Right.
And then they have a longer acting medicine that's going in there that will block the pain sensation for about 5 days.
Wow.
So what happens is
Is it attached to this like little ball or something? Or is it just in there?
So you get the sensation back.
Yeah.
But the pain doesn't come back, which the sensation being not present in your arm is the probably, forgive the pun, the most unnerving thing about having a nerve block, because you could lay your arm on a hot stove and you would not feel it. You don't feel Ooh. Anything. You touch your skin and you don't feel anything. But you get that back within about 24 hours, maybe a little more than that. But you don't get the pain associated with the surgery. And this is across the first several days after the surgery, when the pain, of course, is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So you miss all of that.
Oh, that's nice.
And I said, I think this is an amazing thing. So, okay, so now they're going to give me the shot. Now, this is a needle that's approximately.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Okay.
So they're sticking a needle in your at the base of your neck.
That's like, what, 10 inches long or something?
This is a pretty unpleasant experience, except for this one thing. First, they give you some lidocaine so that you don't feel that fairly substantial needle going in for mm-hmm. the nerve block. They give you a little needle. It is a little, very fine needle with lidocaine to numb up the area. Okay. Then they give you something else. And I'm lying there and I said, oh, well, this is quite something. And I'm like, I'm so happy to be at this party. Wow, where has this been? They do the thing. This is all, and this is another thing. This is all ultrasound guided.
Yeah.
Which the first time I had it, it was, I think we've got it. Do we have it? Let's see if we have it. A little more trial and error, which is unpleasant.
Right.
This time it's ultrasound guided. They're done with it, but I'm still high as a kite. And I said, okay, what in the, now that you're done, what in the world did you give me? And they said, oh, fentanyl. And I said, oh, is this what that's all about? No wonder people wreck their lives and kill mm-hmm. themselves abusing this, you know, this yeah. is like, I mean, I'm saying this as a person who's had a fairly, I've had a lot of knee surgeries. I've had a lot of orthopedic surgeries, folks. And so therefore I've had my share of morphine. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
But this,
something
this
new.
Is really something. And of course it's very short acting. So, you know, I'm very happy and relaxed, but by the time they have me in the OR, it's worn off. This is maybe 15, 20 minutes or something. It's at least in my perception. And so they took very good care of me. They bring me into the OR. They put me on this operating table that is just hilarious. This table is nothing like a table. I think of an operating table as being a fairly blank, long, flat.
Yeah.
No, this has 300 adjustments to it. You can adjust the legs. You can adjust the back. It's got a thing that they put your shoulder on top of for kind of obvious reasons. If you're having shoulder surgery, for better access to it, they have, you know, the neck and the other shoulder. They call this chair the beach chair. You can Google this and you can find it on Amazon. Nobody would buy this as a chair to sit in, but they call, get around the beach chair. I said, by the way, you guys, I've been to the beach. This is the worst beach chair ever. They said, oh, it's just what we call it. I said, yeah, I figured that out.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they do the procedure. I come out, you know, Rick is there, and boy, The only downside I would say is that if they had said to me, now we're going to let you sleep for a couple of hours, I would have been okay. And I would have gone right. I would have nodded right back off. But no. There, you know, once you're out and you've had something to eat and you can answer questions and you can put clothes on, it's here's your hat. What's your hurry?
See you. Bye.
Right? And they're like, so they're wheeling me out and they said, okay, which car is yours? And I said, well, my car is a is a small white crossover SUV. Okay, so my car looks like pretty much about 60 cars in the parking lot look like
yeah.
It's like my car. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, bring me out to that one because my husband's driving it. I'll go in that one. I think it's my car, but I'm mainly concerned that my husband's the guy driving. So let's do that. So, you know, we did that and I was home probably by the middle of the afternoon. So I, and, you know, and they called me the next day and they called.
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I can't say, you know, mom's been in, I know you've had to deal with the hospital, but mom's been in that hospital twice in the past year. And I just, you know, again, you can't say enough about them. The doctors, the nurses, the staff, they're just really wonderful. And, you know, you forget to mention, Jean, that, you know, the hospitals are still understaffed.
They are. That's right.
So we're, you know, we're working on, I don't know if it's half staff or whatever, but none of them are cranky or taking it out on the patients.
No complaints. No complaints.
So, like, kudos to UNC. Yeah, really. I mean.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've experienced other hospital systems in the area. And I was and am very well satisfied. This doctor, very first time I've, you know, met him was to be evaluated for this. And, you know, I like the guy. And what can I tell you? You know, yeah, I'm loyal to my doctors.
Loyal. So know. Can you raise your arm above your head now? That is the big question.
No, not yet, but I will be able to. I almost can if I'm lying flat.
And what about your golf game?
But pulling against gravity, that's going to take a while longer.
No, that's what I meant. What about your golf game?
Well, by this summer I will be able to. But
yeah?
I'm being very compliant. I'm only doing. They don't want me to lift more than a pound.
Oh boy,
with my left arm, which
means that's a half a cabbage. Yeah,
that's half a cabbage. So you know, it's hard on Rick. From that standpoint, he's been doing a lot to take care of me. I can't drive yet.
Another
couple of weeks. So, you know, he's my driver everywhere we go.
Okay.
You know, but listen, you know, I do what I can do. I can take the laundry from the basket into the washing machine and move it to the dryer. These are all things that I can do with one hand.
And your feet, your legs can move stuff around too, right?
And I've figured out very clever ways to grab hold of a laundry basket with taking a shirt and wrapping it through there and
there
just pulling it behind me on the floor. There's no law says you got to pick it up.
That's true. Very true. Yeah.
I mean, my Aunt Valerie has a really bad back. And when my uncle was very ill and dying, I was out there and she said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this stuff. The laundry, you know, without him. And I said, she said, because I can't pick up that basket. And I said, where's the law that says you got to pick it up? You don't have to pick it up. You just got to keep the clothes in it, get them in the washer, get them into the dryer, get them back in the basket, drag that sucker right across the floor. She said, I would have never thought of that. Just, you know, it's so funny, things like that.
You make it work though, right? You got to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, it's in some ways it's more work. In some ways, it's easier than picking it up. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I hadn't thought of it until right now to get a gallon of milk and 2 half gallons so that at some point I could lift that somewhat. And maybe I'll do that. But I'm not supposed to be picking up anything.
Anything. Yeah.
I don't pick up anything except the tab when for 1 week. I bought just to plug another Chapel Hill business.
There we go.
Bought a week of meals from the root cellar.
Nice, yeah.
You know, a gift to my husband so that he wouldn't wear himself out. Because I worry about him.
Oh, you're sweet.
So, you know how he does, Penny. You know, he's going to fuss over me and he's going to, you know, if I said pie right now, he'd probably run out to Harris Teeter and have a pie back here before we were done recording this show, because that's how he rolls. That's his thing.
Very sweet. You take care of each other. It's been a rough couple of months, year, and you know, whatever. Yeah. So it's important.
It balances out. So speaking of our wonderful Chapel Hill businesses and sponsors, we're going to hear from another one right now. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be back. And I have a feeling we might get into whatever might have been happening. I suppose nothing's probably happened in politics.
Nah, it's boring.
It's just nothing going on. Anyway, you're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9. Welcome back to us, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Yeah. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich. And Penny Rich has suspended her role as senior ACC tournament correspondent.
Just for a few minutes.
Just for a minute, and has resumed her role as senior local politics correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some breaking news to share with us this Tuesday evening that's really going to be very, very interesting.
It is, well, you know, it is interesting because I think this might have been talked about, but now I think it's getting closer to a reality. And it has to do with the Orange County School Board race, which was a tight race. You know, and there were groups of people that ran together on a ticket, you know, on their ticket.
It's like a slate.
Yeah, they ran their slate. So there were two different slates. One of the people in the slate that did not win, Bonnie Hauser, has asked for a runoff in the Orange County School Board race. And there's some laws that were created in 1977 that allows her to do this. And it's a little complicated. I don't know, Gene, if we want to actually go into the different thresholds. But
well, you know, I'll tell you what, the formula is such that it makes you appreciate why they still teach math in school. It has to do, when I ran for the school board in 1994, I ran for the school board in 1994, there were, I think, seven or eight candidates for like three seats or four seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many candidates there were this time, but there were a lot.
Oh, there were a lot. I think around the same as you're saying.
I think it's a number like that.
Oh yeah.
So what they've done here is the law has to do with people getting elected in a plurality situation, and there's a clever and unrepeatable formula for taking the number of candidates, adding your grandmother's date of birth, and mm-hmm. dividing it by 75, and whatever. And what they come up with is that if you don't have if you're the last finisher and you don't have a clear enough winner over the second to last finisher, then the second to last finisher, in this case, Bonnie Hauser, gets to request a runoff. This
right.
is not a recount, which when Penny first was talking about this, my brain heard recount and I thought,
right.
Well, it wasn't that close. I mean, you know, really?
It's 400
from the Orange County.
Yeah, no, it's 461 votes. It is the difference. But there's this 50% threshold that keeps coming back to me. And the two people that won number seats 1 and 2 did get past that 50% threshold.
Right.
Of the formula that you just threw out there. The third place winner did not get past that 50% threshold.
Right.
And therefore, someone, like you said, the next person in line, right. which came in fourth
and
place.
And that's because of the number of candidates that the vote was distributed among
absolutely.
So many people.
And right, exactly. Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, the concern that I have about this is when you run for office, and you know I've done this many times, is you're really running to serve the community, right? And when you call for things like this for another election, it is very, very costly. You know, right now they're saying if this happens, it would be on May 14th. It's
right.
very, very costly to taxpayer dollars, to taxpayers in dollars. And I mean, I don't
so
know. I think you need to think about it.
I mean, just to review what your point is here too, is that this is going to be a county election in the school district. In
Orange County, not down in the lower
Orange
portion
County
of the
school
question.
District, not
right.
the whole county.
Correct.
It's going to be only to for the sake of one race between two people to elect a school board member.
Correct.
And there's no other electoral process on that day.
Correct.
So it's only going to be for that. They will have to campaign for, you know, two more months. That's going to cost them money
right.
as well. I don't, we will report back when we learn, as I'm sure Penny and I will both inquire about this. What is this going to cost?
I want to know what it's going to cost. Not only that, and how are you going to get the word out? Like you and I are I'm going to call us something very nice, Jean. It's not bad, but we're political nerds, right? So we're right. I'm looking for things like this, and you're looking for things like this. So we're aware of what's going on. Not that people are not aware in our community. Yeah. There's a lot going on, but we're aware. And this is like, you know, this is the bottom down. You know, a lot of people don't pay attention to school board races.
And you know, North Carolina, whether we thought that was a great idea or not, under Republican leadership in the General Assembly, moved our primary
to Super Tuesday,
which is the Orange County School Board election, is at the primary. They moved it to March a couple of years ago.
That's right.
And a lot of people squawked about that, I think correctly, just my opinion, my two cents right there.
I agree.
That also, you know, moves the filing period for everybody. And it moves it to like December when nobody's paying attention to
this stuff. No one's paying attention. That's right.
Which is probably part of the idea, to be honest. So you have all of that. And then now we're going to be asking voters in the Orange County School District to kind of recalibrate and retrain their brains to pay attention to a runoff race back in May.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's May. So it's May 14th. It would be May 14th. It'll be what's that, the Tuesday after Mother's Day?
Right. So UNC is out. The kids are, you know, in the K-12 are just getting ready to move on and get
end
out.
End of the school year. I mean, at least you do have that benefit that the school year will be winding down at that point, and you can put your signs out and do your politicking at schools and near schools, because this is supposedly all about schools.
And your community. That's right.
And I mean, I think this, I obviously don't know which way this will go.
Right.
But I would be willing to wager that this will be a lopsided result.
We'll see about that. I think it's going to be a very low turnout too, as we described.
Just almost by definition, it's going to be a lower turnout. And
it's
and when we
very
say
low
turnout, oh my goodness, think of what the turnout is in primaries.
Yeah, already
in off years. And there's, you know, let's just put in a plug here, Penny, because I think it's fair to do it. Triangle Blog has some pretty good coverage of this, including some links to research that's been done about runoffs like this and the turnout for them, which is tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny. And of course, you know, that tilts, folks. It tilts in favor. There's not going to be an early voting cycle for this.
No.
People who benefit from that will lose out. They'll have to go out on that election day and vote for this. It means that only, you know, people who are more engaged politically are going to even know about it and be able to act on it. It's I don't know. I wouldn't love it.
Well,
we're gonna see how that goes, and I'm glad you caught this while we
we'll keep following that. Yeah.
We're gonna take another break, and then we're gonna come back and try to catch up on other political matters.
If we
can think of anything of any and I'm not gonna make Penny, you know, post bond for for the judgment. Okay. All right. There's a little hint right there. Okay. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Okay, we're back with Penny Rich. And I just have to ask you, because I didn't ask you last week.
Yeah.
What did you think about the State of the Union?
Well, you know, I enjoyed it. I think that Biden hit a home run. It was fun to watch his reactions to people that were wearing baseball caps in the on the Senate floor. I think he did a great job. I think it was a great speech. I really, even when he went off, you know, off the teleprompter and started to ad lib a little bit, I think he did great. And, I'm proud that he's our president, I have to say, after that speech. Now, the rebuttal, that was something else, but we could talk about that SNL audition later.
Well, I'll tell you what. I understand that Joe Biden ad-libbed, went off script more in that speech than any previous president ever.
Really?
I love that.
Yeah, no, he did great.
Here's my theory of the case. I think that he considered that there's at least a theory that says this could be his last State of the Union. And he just said, I'm leaving it all out there.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
I'm just going to give it everything. I think that has a way of focusing your mind. This could be my last one.
Right.
I mean, obviously,
right.
We hope it isn't. If you have that in the background, folks, please don't be concerned that he's being tormented. He's not. So I thought as you did, that is clearly head and shoulders the best speech I've ever seen him give. I think that Obama was jealous of that speech.
Yeah.
In terms of oratory,
yeah,
delivery, command of the room. This guy was in the place that he knows and loves so well.
Well, that's it, right? He's very, very comfortable. Yes, he's very comfortable on that floor. He showed it. I mean, he was really just so powerful.
The only gaffe, if you want to call it one, is that he didn't wait to be introduced. But I thought, usually the Speaker of the House says, it's my privilege and high honor to introduce. Nope, he just went, thank you, folks. It's just
and then went right into his joke. All right, actually, if right I was in, smart, I would leave right now, in. Right? Yeah.
He suckered these Republicans into a call and response, which that's, listen, as a public speaker, that is risky. But he owns it, man.
He did.
They fell for it last year when he said, these guys, you guys want to cut Social Security and Medicare. And they said, no. Really? Do I have your agreement then that you're not going to do that, that you don't want to do that? And all the Democrats jumped up and applauded. And then the Republicans did too, because they're on camera and they don't want to be seen sitting on their hands on that issue. He played them. It was beautiful.
And he did it again this year.
He did it again this year when he talked about
immigration.
Those $2 trillion tax cuts, And he said, what do you mean?
If your city doesn't want it,
do that. You don't like that idea? And he just suckered him right into it. I loved it. It was like watching a master fisherman just casting out there and pulling it in every time. It was beautifully executed, especially because I'll never be able to prove this, but I think he's been walking slower and sort of dragging a little bit, maybe, and sandbagging a little bit so that he could just let that story about, oh my goodness, he's so old, it's too much, he needs to get out of the race. And I think he thought, I think I'll just play along with that a little bit. And then at the State of the Union, I'm just going to wind it up and knock him out. And that's what he did. Okay, so there's that.
Right.
There's the ongoing smirking disrespect from the Speaker of the House, a guy who looks like he is so out of his depth. I don't even know how to explain my contempt for him.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But okay, there's that. In his lap, you can see he's applauding many, many times.
Yeah.
Don't do it where it's
no one can watch him
from the front camera. So, okay, that's just so lame. And then, of course, we come to, because we're out of time, of course, then we come to the response, which was Katie Britt.
Oh, my God.
Is a lawyer and a United States senator. And the former chief of staff for her predecessor, she's been around the block. So don't anybody tell me She was overcoached. She was overly dramatic. It's her first time.
No.
Nervous. No.
No.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Right.
And whether or not it was the right thing, she is entirely responsible for agreeing, as a woman who is a senator, a United States senator, to be doing this from her kitchen and just saying, I'm a mom. You know what this is, Penny? I'm going to cut to the chase of my analysis. She is today's Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, yes. And you're going to
also
date yourself when you say that. Yeah. But
a hardcore activist, who wanted everybody to forget her credentials and just listen to that. Women should be happy to stay home and stand behind their men and just support their husbands, as I'm not doing, is what she should have said if she
Right.
was truthful.
Right.
And, you know, and we'll take
How
your right
demeaning.
away and all this. And, you know, I'm so over it. I was so glad to see the complete contempt for this in real time,
immediately
on Friday.
Oh my God, it was just so
How do you
demeaning
go
to
right
women.
to a woman in her kitchen? Are you guys so
If it was even her
frustrated?
kitchen, my God, that's what you're going to do? This woman does, right? She's a senator, and you're putting her in a kitchen?
And as she's
Come
bashing,
on.
that border policy on the part of the president, she is part of the team that negotiated that bill and then
Right.
voted against it.
And then voted
Because
against
her
it.
overlord in Mar-a-Lago told her to.
Right.
For
Horrible.
this,
I
I have
know.
no use. And
Right.
God bless SNL, the skit wrote itself.
It was beautiful.
I was
Beautiful.
only hoping that her husband in the sketch on SNL was maybe going to walk through the kitchen looking for a sandwich.
Yeah. That would have been great.
Having
Yeah.
forgotten his pants. That's what I
Just
was hoping for.
Something
But
like
I didn't
that.
get
Yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But that was, I mean, oh my goodness, that just broke the internet. The
Oh,
whole
yeah.
thing. The whole thing.
Immediately. Immediately.
Immediately. And well deserved. I mean, and she was on some of the Sunday shows trying to explain her way out of it, saying, well, I said I was talking about a woman who this happened to when she was 12.
Was wrong. And that was wrong. She got the wrong dates wrong. She got who was
misleading information.
As usual.
About a terrible, horrible crime that happened 20 years ago
Right.
in another country. So if this is going to be the basis for criticism, then we have a few things we'd like to discuss for the Republicans to consider answering for as to, I don't know, why
They
were
don't
we in
answer.
Iraq? Do you want to start going over all that stuff all over again? Because I don't. I
No.
don't think there's much value in that. But
No.
anyway, that was very entertaining.
It was fun. Fun, fun,
Almost
fun.
as much fun as watching these frenetic, ridiculous, frivolous claims that the former guy is making to try to avoid this trial starting on March 25th. And it's going to start on March 25th.
Yeah.
And he's going
Well.
to be in a criminal courtroom in New York every day until then.
This is going to get him. We keep talking about it. He's still, we
on the
just have to
criminal
make,
side.
I know we have to go, but I just loved when the former guy was tweeting during the Oscars and Jimmy Kimmel
Yes.
said it he
Jimmy
was going to
Kimmel
trying to say it
comes
wasn't it
right
past
out.
your bedtime. Instead,
Isn't
he said, isn't it past your jail time? Oh my
it
God.
past your jail time? And you know, Jimmy Kimmel has this ongoing bit on his show about me reading mean tweets.
Right.
And so when I saw him do that, I thought, oh, this is a funny bit. And then I saw, oh no.
Yeah, no, this
no,
is real.
That's exactly the right thing to do. Because, you know, maybe 5,000 people saw it on Truth Social, but Jimmy Kimmel took care of that.
Yeah.
And then he gets to about three lines in, and then he says, and blah, 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 and then make America great again. Can you guess which former president sent that?
Love it.
Masterful. He probably got a pro tip from Joe Biden about how to handle this. I think Joe is right on his game. Well, Penny Rich, I can't wait to talk to you next week with the update on this runoff question.
Yeah.
And talk to you whenever we get the chance going forward, because
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Oh,
Yeah.
thank you. Yes.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff.
Ibuprofen at bedtime, and I'm good. So
Yeah.
keep working on it and keep getting better. And folks, if you need an orthopedist, go to UNC. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. All right. So we will say that's it for now. And folks, if you're going out, you know, be safe, celebrate wisely.
Mm-hmm.
When Carolina wins the tournament. I mean, it's in Washington, so I guess.
I know, it's at the Capitol Arena. Yeah, it's kind of, it'll be a Carolina fan.
Yeah,
it'll be Carolina crowd, rather. I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe they'll come back to the Dean Dome and everybody can flood out there.
There you go.
Yeah, so that'll be good. And my cat will continue crying because I'm not going to let him go in the basement and bring a mouse into my house.
Well, you know, there's
and,
that.
It's just how it goes. It's not cruelty. It's just me. Okay. If you're going out, folks, be safe. And if you're staying in, keep it right here on 97.9 The Hill.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.